Oh, well.
Well, this is Ghostly Talk. Maybe we'll have her on.
Yeah, maybe we'll have her on. Yeah. Right now. We never know.
I gotta say that. Hey, you know what? By the way, guys, the day you have Houdini on, let me know, because he hasn't answered any damn telephone calls.
No, he's definitely, his voicemail's full. So what
What? Can I tell you, it's very interesting, because having known Walter Gibson so well, and having in my home some personal memorabilia of Houdini, the image of Houdini is really not what you get when you hear some magicians speak about him, because they weren't around when he was around. Well, I wasn't either, but thank God I got to know people who knew him very, very intimately.
Mm-hmm.
And he died in 1926, of course, on Halloween. But at the same time, he wasn't really even known as a magician. He didn't want to be known as one. For the last 2 years of his life, he was an escape artist, and a remarkable escape artist. But he was highly superstitious. His wife, Bess, had to alter the calendars because there were certain days of the month and certain dates that he was very frightened of, so she had to make it look like he wasn't working on those days. He was a subject of tremendous contradictions. Everybody says, well, he didn't really, all he spent his last years of his life debunking spiritualists and so forth, but when his mother died, he was in Europe, and it devastated him that he was not with her. So when he came home, for many, many weeks, Bess did not see him during the day. She knew where he was. He was at the cemetery, lying face down on the ground, talking into the earth. Interesting, it just made me think of his name coming up. People ask me, you know, when you think about it, there's never really been any, he was an escape artist, that's what he's known for. There's never really been an escape artist, all Houdini, what have you. And I think I can give the reason why, which nobody has ever really addressed, never been said this way before. It would be almost impossible if today Scott or Doug, someone came along and said, hey, I'm as good as Houdini, I can do what he did. They don't stand a chance of succeeding. I'll tell you why. Simply because if they got on television, most television shows are taped, and practically any show, even The Tonight Show or The Letterman Show, and I've done like 30-some of those, and Carson Show, I did 88 of them, they were delayed. Now, one of the greatest feature of an escape artist, unlike a magician or what have you, but the greatest feature of an escape artist is the element of suspense. Will he make it? Will he survive? But the bottom line, Doug and Scott, reason this out. Even a kid 7-8 years old unconsciously can sense that if they're watching something on television and this looks dangerous and so forth, if the guy did die or not succeed, it would be on cable television, on Fox News, 10 minutes later, a week before the show ever went on the air. So there is no suspense. It is gone, totally gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Houdini would have a tough time, because that's the element. Will he make it or not? Will he survive or not survive? Now what you're watching when you see an escape artist is really basically a movie, because you know he has to escape or would have never waited this long for you to see it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the broadcast industry, as exciting as it is, and with our bloggers, you have that all the time, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you, and I admire, because I get messages and what have you, but I have to also say, guys, that the greatest amount of fiction, there's more fiction on the internet than there is in the New York Public Library.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Guys, I don't know where this time is going. I should let you ask me some questions.
Well, you know, no.
There's a couple things. I wanted to say, you said December 19th you're in?
I'm here. It is the 19th. I'm traveling 18th, 19th, 20th. Yes. The show, though, is the 19th.
It's a Monday.
It is a Monday,
it's
yes.
It's a Monday, yeah.
I think it's in the afternoon, as a matter of fact, guys. I by the way, I love, very quickly, you ever hear of a town called Marshall, Michigan?
Heard of it, never been there. I have heard of the town.
I thought we've been there.
I don't think we've ever been
Scott
there.
Scott and it's a very, very old town. And a gentleman I knew for years, he was a newspaper man for the William Hearst people, and he had a museum of mainly mysterious and kind of remarkable show business figures through the years. He's gone now, and unfortunately the museum is locked down, but it's unfortunately not, I don't think anything's been tampered. But his name was Bob Lund. And years ago, when he was with us, and he's been gone now for 7-8 years, but years ago, I held a seance in his museum, which was a remarkable thing because he poured his life savings and putting this together. And he had in the museum a large milk can, not the kind you would see in old movies on milk wagons, but it was large enough to just about hold a human being, and here it had been the actual milk can that Houdini had used, and that was filled with water, and then Houdini was lowered into it, and it was put shut and put behind a curtain he escaped from. So we're looking at this, you know, now, my God, we think about it, you know, it had to be like 70 years later, uh-huh. It had been used there, sitting on this platform. And the press is there, and Larry King, his TV crew is there because they wanted to show if anything happened that night. Mm-hmm. We didn't expect anything to happen. We certainly didn't expect any phenomena to take place. And some of the people started breathing heavily, which could have obviously been emotional or the aura of the experience. And suddenly, the camera crew jumped up and said, "Oh my God." Now, when you think of a milk can has handles on it, and a small milk can, you just think about the handles. But this was a big milk can, so you can imagine these iron pieces hanging down on each side of the milk can, because to move it, one person would have to be on one side, one the other, and that it was just too heavy. Nobody moved it. I guess it hadn't been moved for the few years he had it there. Well, mm-hmm. That's not the case. Don't you know, at the completion of the seance, one of the handles started moving back and forth and swinging for the next 10-12 minutes. And believe me, guys, there was no earthquake. There was nothing unsettled in the earth, and I don't think we had any aliens, but that was a night to remember.
Well,
wow. All that's physical phenomena.
Absolutely.
That doesn't happen all that often.
No, it doesn't. And it's unusual because no one, at the end of it, no one ever expected any signs from Houdini. That wasn't it. It was almost done in respect to him, and some of the people were trained authorities on magic, and it was quite disarming. I have to, as I think of that scene, which I have put away tape of the Larry King show, and see this handle. I mean, and when I say nobody was near it, there was no one. You know, in my life, things like this happen, and I wish I could have a ready explanation for it, but I don't necessarily.
Well, nobody really has explanations for a lot of these things. I mean,
not these kinds of
people
things.
Speculate all day long.
Yeah, they do. You started mentioning. I didn't. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Scott.
No, it's okay.
Scott, but you know,
okay.
I could. I'm one of these people that everybody says I should have been born and lived in the 18th century. Not that I'm that old. No, but I. Those were the days that. People sat, the great writers and so forth, sat around a fire and so forth, and like legendarily in the last century, the Algonquin people who sat around a table in New York, and they were writers and would just express and reflect on incidents and experiences. You can't necessarily get that on just looking at a television picture, you know what I mean?
Well, we don't get that even in the family unit anymore.
No.
That's a very interesting remark. I've said that there's one thing that's disappearing in our culture, and that is we're losing our ability. We're becoming a socially dysfunctional society, unfortunately, in many ways, because people often, when they go out to a restaurant or a club, are in a club or a restaurant where the music is so loud that they cannot converse.
Right.
And really, part of life is touching each other. And when I say touching, a lot of times it's in what someone says. And often, and it's caused an interesting thing to happen, that there are many times people who are uncomfortable with silence. Scott and Doug, when we're with someone whom we love, like, find interesting or fascinating, sometimes we say things when we're not even talking. Those moments of silence can often be communications as well. And, you know, they're very cherished moments, so we don't always need noise to keep ourselves occupied.
Well, I had a boss years ago. Well, I still have him, actually. He's still a boss of mine. But he told me something years ago And it was more of a funny situation, but I was in the kitchen doing something at the place I was working at, and I had the radio cranking. I was in there doing my work, and I got the radio going, and I'm working, and he walks in and pushes stop on the tape. You know, and he's a good guy. I mean,
yeah,
I'm personally
sure.
friends with this guy now still, and he's a brother to me. But I look over, and I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? He's like, Scott, silence is golden.
You know, it is, and we shouldn't be frightened of it. You can't really think that well. We have other senses aside from hearing. This year has been a rather dramatic year for me. Different parts of the year have had some incidents or phenomena take place that's caused a lot of attention. And this summer, talking about another sense, the sense of touch. And we have, you know, more than five senses. We have a sense of temperature and bounce, what have you.
Yeah.
And, of course, those of us who've been involved in paranormal phenomena would say that there are even more senses. But it was in the summer, and as you guys can recall, this was an extremely hot summer. It's hard to tell that now because it's cold out there. I mean, we've got about 18 degrees here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going out in about 4 hours and jog. I usually jog at 3 or 4 in the morning for about an hour, so I got to bundle myself out, you know. But anyway, I run there because then nobody stops me, or maybe the police do because they think there's someone just escaping. But anyway, it was very hot during the summer, and I was performing here in the East Coast, and Warner Brothers Television came to me and said they were asking if I would come on their morning show live, and I said, I've got a diabolical idea. We're having a heat wave. So I came on the show from off and on. It was a news show, so it was different. I don't know, it was 8 or 10 times from 6 in the morning to about, it was either 9 or 10 o'clock. And we were talking about heat and how people handle it and how psychologically there are ways of handling heat.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite way of handling the heat is to keep busy. I would rather be working than sitting and suffering from the heat or what have you.
Same here.
I just think you handle it better. But anyway, and people in tropic areas will agree to that all their lives. But anyway, by 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, a crowd of people had gathered, and it was a square in New York City. That was like a park, but it was a very busy area. In fact, I got to know a lot of the police there because they had to cordon off some areas and people were going to work and all kinds of crazy things. So we got 8 or 10 guys and gals together who had no idea what I was going to do, and they were assured that it was just going to be an interesting experience. And the viewers were told that they might want to follow this to see how psychologically you can handle the heat. Well,
mm-hmm.
The bottom line is that we all gathered together, and I explained to all of them I was going to spell my name twice and then shout chill out. And it was very dramatic because when I spelled my name and then spelled chill out, these 8 or 9, 10 people started shaking like anything, literally freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy was, they were literally, it was uncontrollable. And then they shot back to the main studio, the home studio where the news was coming out of, and one of the guys there said, you know, I'm getting cold here myself, and I wanted to show how powerful my use of the suggestion can be. So as a result of this, NBC News came to me, and a few days later we went into a park square area. And it was, they were doing this at noon. Well, it was 104. It was unbearably hot. I mean, if I was going to make people cold, I got to tell you, I was sweltering. I wish I was the subject and not that. So we gathered some people together again, and I spelled my name twice and said, chill out. And they started freezing. In fact, one gentleman was so cold, he could hardly speak. He was just shaking like anything. Well, this got carried in NBC News throughout the United States, and WR Radio, which is a national mutual broadcasting here
mm-hmm.
out of New York,
mm-hmm.
called me, and Joey Reynolds has a nighttime show, so, and I've been on many times. He said, you know, everybody saw this on the NBC News. Would you come on and discuss this? I said, better than that. I want to do something that's never happened in the history of radio. let's see if I can cause the viewers to respond, the listeners to respond the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So we announced it, and we announced it 2 in the morning. I went on 1 o'clock. At 2 in the morning, this was going to happen. A few minutes after 2, it was after the news, and I told everyone that just, I know a lot of you are in bed. It's a hot evening, but just make yourself comfortable. And I said, let's see what happens when I spell my name and twice and say, chill out. Well, we got hundreds and hundreds of calls. One man said, he said, Kreskin, they said, Joey, right? He's Joey. It was like the window had opened. It was the wintertime and snow was blowing in at me. He says, I couldn't stand the, I was freezing. But that's not the story. We got these calls later on. What was interesting, really interesting, Scott and Doug, is here I spell my name twice. I suddenly say, chill out. And Joey Reynolds, who's sitting on the other side of the microphone studio table with me, jumps up. I hear this racket in the control room. I turn around, and we, thank God, we thought, well, God, did someone have a stroke or whatever? There's pandemonium there. It turns out, as the broadcast media magazines said the next day, as soon as I said chill out, the entire network went off the air.
Oh my gosh!
And you know, it was like let's say a half a minute, but that's catastrophic because all phones were down throughout the country. There was no WR, and I got a kick out of the next day. Some of the headlines of the stories was, "Don't have Kreskin on any broadcast. Did Kreskin create this calamity?" And WR had the next day to make a public announcement that I did not cause this. But you want to know something? We still wonder. I have to tell you that, Scott and Doug. We still wonder.
Well, yeah, I think I would wonder indefinitely on something like that.
That is absolutely amazing. All of WOR.
Oh, the whole country.
That's insane.
So, you know, every once in a while I'll say to people, hey, listen, don't cause any problems, because I may suddenly start chill out. Anyway, so this guy flipped out. So I've had, you know, you mentioned something about biography. I have written 13 books, but sooner or later, I don't want to write, actually, Scott and Doug, I don't want to write a biography, because that's too terminal. I'm still alive.
And, right.
unless I did it the way P.T. Barnum did, and he wrote his biography, and I think this is neat. He added a new chapter every year. He said, heck, I'm still alive. Let me just add to this, you know. So, but I think what I'm going to do is put together my memoirs, because I'll tell you, Scott and Doug, I have hundreds, maybe a thousand stories to tell through the years, of not only with famous and otherwise, but things that have happened in the Middle East and everything else. I always think of my career as kind of an adventure, you know, and the only thing is that I assure everybody, when I fly home, it's not on a broom, it's by normal means.
Oh, I wouldn't
still
think.
Go through the metal detector.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
You still go through the metal detectors like everyone else. Oh,
I got a kick out in Canada. Scott and Doug, the secure. I've known the security people for years because, you know, I mean, I got, you know, 3 million flies. I float a lot. Yeah. And they say to me, Kristen, why don't you just tell us who to search? Don't us not waste time. Tell us if they're coming through. Hey, you know, before I forget, guys, I want to mention that I have a DVD available. It's a new DVD, and I've got to get this to you. In fact, when in the future we get it to you, you have to call me on the phone, and it's called The Amazing Kreskin, Mental Marvels, Feats and Stunts. Now, I don't, and you can get it by going on www.amazon.com or, you know, Target.com, called Tutor, Barnes & Noble. But I got to explain, I don't want to mislead people. This is not a DVD. It's a good hour and a half. It's not a DVD that's going to have people suddenly walking away saying, well, I can read thoughts and so forth, because I would be misrepresenting myself. I had a lot of fun with this. Aside from the beginning of it, where at the fires in New York, I'm reading the thoughts of people in the audience whom I do not know, and that was all done legitimately. Later on, I show stunts. I show stunts of how the old time, the fake mediums made a table suddenly tilt, how you can do some crazy things. But then I also enclosed, and also there's a scene in here, which you gotta get together with friends, those of you listening in, to do this. Years ago, PBS came to me, and they'd gone to a lot of people in different areas of of the arts, musicians, songwriters, what have you, and said, can you come on and give us a piece? We want to use it running for the year on how about your work. Give us a flavor of your work. Well, so they went to a man who was very important in my early career, Steve Allen. He showed how he composes music. They went to some athletes, and they showed exercise are important. So they came to me, and I said, hey, guys, I got an idea. I use the power of suggestion in part of my program. Let me cause the viewers to swallow. So we taped this for PBS nationally, and we had to stop tape because the cameramen, there were three of them, were swallowing all over the place. They said, you got to stop this. Like, Kreskin, we're watching you on camera. So anyway, that was a whole scenario. Well, I did a similar thing on this DVD, and folks listening in, when you watch this with some friends, you try not to swallow. You're in a swallowing, but I also have a pendulum in there. Mm-hmm. You know, as folks have discussed, pendulums for these. Oh, yeah. And you'll be able to interact with me on the DVD. So if anyone, you guys are interested, it's the people listening in, you can get it on. It's called The Amazing Kreskin Mental Marvels. And it's either Amazon, Target, Coulter, K-U-L-T-U-R, or Barnes & Noble. And you might find it interesting. And that's just something I wanted to mention, guys.
Well, something that you mentioned.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, totally.
Too, yeah.
That's what it is.
Something you mentioned a second ago, though, Kreskin, you were like, I think that my life, you know, my career is a bit of an adventure. I stopped, you know, when you said that. I'm like, what do you mean you think? I know your life was an adventure.
Well, I have. It's, you know, I don't live in the past, but I learn from the past. I always think in the future, like. A little while ago, I was at SUNY at one of the universities in New York State, and after it, some of the guys and gals came by, and they said to me, you know, Kreskin, this was in a gymnasium where we had a few thousand people, but they said, you know, in our newsletter we put out, we had a bio, and they said, gee, you knew what you wanted to do when you were 5 or 6 years old, and one of the guys who was a senior, he says, you know, I'm not sure what I want to do. And I said this to him, and I say this to everybody listening in. I said, wonderful. I said, okay, I was blessed. A few incidents took place, and by 5 I knew, and by 9 I was already immersed in my own childlike way and what I was going to be doing. But I said, if you don't know what you want to do and you're getting a pretty good education, what have you, then savor life. Make it an adventure and try things. Years ago in broadcasting, there was a legendary figure by the name of Arthur Godfrey, and before he became this legendary broadcaster, the most powerful single broadcaster in the recorded history of radio, and if you people listening in, any of you listening in are taking communications, and your professor hasn't discussed him, you better get that professor to get his ass in order and say, explain to me why it was considered at one point that Mr. Godfrey would run for president, and that why, as Time Magazine, when I said this years ago, and people had heard of him, they said, this is stupid. And Time Magazine found the recordings, had this TV and radio personality in the 1950s, had this country been bombed and the president and vice president been assassinated, it was decided that he would take over the country. He would take it over because he was the most trusted voice in the whole United States. Now, that is communications. But the reason I bring up Godfrey is he told me, and I only knew him the latter part of his career because I was a young man then and got to know him. He said, Kreskin, he said, I started as a cemetery salesman. He says, I sold door-to-door stuff. He says, I was a bum on the streets. And he did scores and scores of things. But you know what happened? When he finally got into broadcasting, Scott and Doug, he had a gift. He knew how everybody thought because he had touched so many lives. So if you folks don't know what you want to do or are sampling things, make sure whatever you do it with a passion. I don't care if it's shining shoes. Mm-hmm. Do it with a passion because each of the days, you got to realize, each of these days are not rehearsals. You make the most of them and move on.
Absolutely. And, the people you're talking to right now are living examples of that. We tried something 4 years ago, and now we're talking to you.
We're still doing it, and we get to talk to you.
You know, listen, guys, you know, you two had a dream, and it's exciting that you have made it take place. And you know, what you're doing is you're sharing your experiences and enthusiasm. And there are people all over the world who've had some extraordinary experiences, and you know, And Lou, if they didn't have you folks, they may not have had someone to communicate it with aside from their very close friends.
Mm.
But the interesting thing is, as you hear, you know, and I've been with Aborigines in New Zealand, I've been in the Middle East, that they want me to write an entire book on the 5 different years that I toured the Middle East and so forth. That's another story. But the interesting thing is, in different languages, in different ways, we've all had similar experiences,
mm-hmm.
some of the same experiences. Okay, today telepathic flashes are not as common. And telepathic flashes, anyone going to school right now maybe wants to study some of the great writers, Mark Twain. Mark Twain created the term mental telegraphy because the word telepathy did not exist. The teletype existed then. And Mark Twain had a tragedy in his life. His brother was working on a ship, and the ship exploded and burned. His brother was died in a very horrible way. And Twain had a very interesting imagery experience that he never forgot as long as he lived. And he also found as a writer that he would be sending letters by the Pony Express or teletype, what have you, to friends. And very often, a day later, and the friends hadn't gotten the letter because they were being carried by horse, what have you, to other parts of the country, what have you, he'd get a letter from the same person he was writing to on the same topic. So he called it mental telegraphy, and that was long before Myers and others in England finally played around with the term telepathy and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But the telepathic flash, which, of course, some have called crisis telepathy, are the experiences that many people have had where there's been a crisis with a loved one. They could have been miles away. No one knew about it, and the person knew of it ahead of time. So as a New York Star Ledger reporter here in New Jersey recounted to me some years ago that he had the unholy task of going to a woman, I believe it was in Elizabeth, New Jersey, a family. The editor said, you better let them know before they pick up today's paper. Their son, who was in the Army but stationed in Germany, was taking off, and unfortunately the plane in a takeoff had crashed, and he was going to the house to tell the family, and he said to me, Creston, I am walking from the curb down on the walk towards the front steps. It's early morning, and the paper hadn't come out yet, and I knock on the door, and there a woman, it turns out the fellow's mother, stands there screaming and says, you don't have to tell me, I've seen my son in flames, and of course that is what happened. So we don't understand even things like that that often happen over great distances, as I'm sure Scott and Doug, you've discussed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's funny you mentioned that because just last week's show, we had something kind of weird. We laughed about it, and we thought it was pretty funny, but at the same time, it was pretty wild because one of our guests we had on last week, who's a friend of, who's been on the show a couple times, We had some cancellations and stuff like that, so we were trying to scramble and get some people to come on the show, right? And I'm like, well, let's have some friends come on. So we had, like, last week was all fun. We had friends on, and I sent an email. And this is all digital, mind you, too, Chris.
Sure.
But I sent an email to this gentleman, right? And, you know, I was waiting for a reply, and I came back a couple days later, and I looked through, and I'm sure you are familiar with this thing called junk mail spam and the email.
Oh, my
thing.
God.
Well, we have this server that our email, that manages our email, and it pretty much has a mind of its own. It just kind of decides whenever, you know, it don't really care what email. I mean,
I think it's random.
Yeah, it catches a lot of junk. It catches a lot of junk, right?
And it randomly puts things in a junk folder.
Yeah, you know, it usually catches the junk, but sometimes it catches these really critically important emails we need, too. So I've made a practice of going through my junk mail just as intensely as I go through my regular email.
Something like that happened, or
one of the emails that was sitting in my junk folder from it was the day before, was from this gentleman who I emailed
saying, can I get on the show?
He's like, I want to come on the show this weekend. If you guys have, and I'm like, whoa, hey, wait a minute.
And here, this is when you needed someone this weekend.
It was totally unprovoked, and I talked to him about it. I'm like, you know, Vance, you know, this is really weird. He's like, yeah, no kidding, man.
It's funny. It almost had a precognitive quality about that.
Absolutely.
Even though our time is going, I'm going to recount something to you. And incidentally, I hope the listeners, again, if I can mention, only because it's near the holidays, if they're interested in the amazing Creston Mental Marvels, they can go to Amazon or Target or, you know, Barnes & Noble. But anyway, Right now, as it gets near the holidays, near New Year's, I do a tremendous amount of media, and I'll be on the Fox News on the again this year of New Year's Eve when the balloon is coming down, what have you, and a lot of other shows. But they've asked me about how I think the world's going to change, and without next time we talk, I'll elaborate more. But without going into detail, 14 years ago, CNN came to me and said, "Why don't you come on? You know, we've had astrologers on, so forth, about to talk about the future." I said, "Well, I don't foretell the future. I'm a thought reader." They said, "Yeah, but you've traveled so much. Maybe you have some intuitive feelings." And it became a very dramatic onslaught of experiences. Celebrity Justice, which is an NBC series, just last a few months ago, played January 1st, 2001. I was on CNN. I had written a book called Kreskin and the Stars, and I had gone to 60 famous people and asked them to predict the future of their profession. Who else has the right to more than a person in their own field? Weathermen do it every day. So I went to politicians. I went to people like Seinfeld. I went to psychiatrists. I went to Regis and broadcast. Roger Ailes, who's the head of Fox. Each of them speculated on how their business would change. Now, we're on the air. And it's January 1st, 2001. I've never looked at this tape again. I can't watch it, although it's been shown God knows hundreds of times. And at the end of the book, they showed the book. In fact, Newsweek did two pages on it and said in the article, yes, this was written before January 1st, 2001. At the end of the book, they opened to the last two pages, the host of the show, and said, well, let's see what Kreskin predicted. And my first prediction of the a little more than a dozen was that we are at war. I said, now this is, of course, January 1st, 2001. I said, we're at war. The world does not know we're at war. The public doesn't know. It's a war of terrorism, and it could develop into biological warfare. And on the air, Scott and Doug, I interrupted and said, and by the way, I don't know why I want to say this, but there could be a disaster in September involving four airlines. Now, that remark, I've been interviewed hundreds and hundreds of times by intelligent people, how 9 months before 9/11 whatever possessed me to say such a thing. And I could say that the traveling and the time I spent in the Middle East, because you can learn from history or the past. But the reason I bring this up is I'm involved now in a crazy set of circumstances. I came back last Tuesday from out of the area, and my phone messages were all used up, and I went to my emails at 4 in the morning, and thank God a television producer in Canada said, Kreskin, you're going to get calls off the wall. Let me tell you what's gone on. To explain it, last year in May, I was called to Canada. There's a show like Meet the Press, and they were having an election of protests. Elections in Canada don't go every 4 years. They can go when the government feels there's a need for one or what have you. And there was a protest for a lack of confidence vote in the prime minister, and they asked if I could predict what I thought the results would be. So the election was going to be June 28th. I went out there, and there were three main parties, and they all got equal poll support. But my decision was that Martin, who was the liberal, would stay in office. But I said he probably wouldn't carry as many. He wouldn't carry as many seats as he wants. He'd probably only carry like about 135 seats. Well, they flew me out on the 28th of June because for election night, next morning, it turns out he was reelected and carried exactly 135 seats. So I got headlines around the country, but I made another remark. I said in 14 months, and I don't know why I'm playing around 14. Now, this is last June of 2004. I said, if the government does fall, the position of what would happen to Martin could be based on a couple of factors, whether it's a couple of days before the 14th or after what have you. Forgot about it. The reason I bring this up to you is I came home last week, and chaos has taken place in Canada. For the first time in Canadian history, a first in the history of the country, the government has collapsed, not in the usual ways, but three parties were involved in toppling the prime minister with a lack of voter confidence. There has to be a demand for re-election. But the reason the press has been calling me off the wall is that they remembered. It turns out when this took place a week ago Tuesday, it was 5 days before 14 months.
Oh, my God.
Nailed
so I have no yeah. idea. I have been interviewed a couple days ago. In 2 days, I was interviewed by 32 news and broadcast people, and one of the TV companies coming to New York and early this week to interview me. But whatever made me say 14 months, whatever made me say that on May, and for this to happen, there was no sign of a collapse of the government, because it never happened in history like this. It only, and it's literally within 5 days of 14 months. I can only tell you guys, Scott and Doug, even in my career, sometimes things happen that I can't explain, but it's what makes this exciting, and, you know, I don't know where this hour has gone.
It's gone over hour.
It's been over an hour.
I'm sitting here going, okay, our breaks are all...
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
No, but don't be sorry. That's about
listen,
we
you know,
welcome
Scott, that. Doug, let's say this, because near the New Year's, I've been interviewed all over the place regarding mm-hmm. my comments in the coming year. I won't say tonight goodbye to you guys. I'm going to say to be continued. How's that?
I like that.
Yeah.
I could listen to you. Your stories are absolutely fascinating. You are an absolutely fascinating person.
Well,
with
you're
all
one of the reasons
we
do what we do today.
You are, yeah, you helped form my interest in the paranormal.
Well, thank you.
And so thank you so much, Kreskin.
Well, you know, we will be, I'm interested in hearing what's happening with your work and in your lives, and we will to be continued, and I will, all of you listening in, this is a prediction. I'm going to be talking to them again. These guys are they're characters, and I like them. But they're characters.
Thank you.
And you want to know something? Those are the only interesting people on Earth. I always kiddingly say, I was saying this to Letterman's people a few weeks. I said, you know, all my pictures of my people I feel good about in my house, they're all slightly tilted. Now, those are the only interesting people, right, guys?
And I agree.
Listen, I'll talk to you guys soon again now.
Thank you very much, Kreskin.
Thank you. It was an honor.
Bye now.
And happy holidays.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll talk to you before New Year.
Excellent.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
I am on the edge of my seat. I am totally energized. I am 100% hyped up. I just talked to Kreskin.
Yeah,
that's the rush.
That's the initial rush. Okay? I talk about often on the show how I have this meltdown thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Well, I've had another one of those. But I think this is the real deal right here.
This is it.
Because, I mean, well, as far as the surface goes, let's just talk about the surface. That man has the energy of a teenager.
He jogs every night.
I can't get my big ass off the couch to get the controller for the TV.
Right.
Sometimes.
If they hadn't invented remote control, I probably wouldn't watch TV.
Well, I said this not too long ago. I said, you know you're really lazy when you're too lazy to go get the remote controller.
To go get the remote, yeah.
Okay. But here's something that happened. And believe me, this is something that just went through my mind as we were speaking. I had this last cigarette. Doug's flaring another one up.
Sure.
I had one cigarette left in my pack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening. You know, we're just listening to Kreskin talk. I mean, you think, well, come on, give us, you know. But I love to listen to people talk, right? And especially people like Kreskin. And as we were talking, I had this last cigarette, right? And I have to say, it tasted horrendous. It was absolutely horrendous. And for a split second, I said, okay, you know, what's the, you know, just for a second. It wasn't like I was melting down and not listening to Kreskin. But I said, okay, you know, here's the time, what we got to do with the rest of the show, and then what we got to do after the show as far as business is concerned. One of my things that popped my head said, well, you need to go get a pack of cigarettes. You're out of smoke, Scott. I mean, how are you going to go on without cigarettes, right? But then something really sincerely came into my head and said, Scott, don't do it.
Really?
Do not do it. So what I'm going to do, this is ridiculous, I know, I'm not going to buy cigarettes.
Okay.
And I'm going to also put an amendment to that thing, too. Will is a smoker himself. Will, you know, lives in one of the Chardos here at the winery, right? And he smokes in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't give me cigarettes because this has happened before, remember?
Yeah, you came in at like 2 o'clock in the morning, like
shaking you and shaking myself. I'm for some reason, and I'm not saying that with power of suggestion, you know, Kreskin, but for some reason, this just really hit me hard tonight, and I don't know if it was a result of Kreskin, But I'm not. I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it tonight. Yeah, and giggle all you guys want, whatever.
No,
I don't care.
Homie.
Giggle all you guys want, whatever.
Buy
but, you
them.
Know.
Go ahead. Buy them. They won't make you do it.
I'm not going to do it. All right. Now that's just kind of. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But I mean,
that's a jump on New Year's resolution. That's for sure.
Well, it's a hell of a jump on. But yeah,
I have to be supportive.
Well, yeah. Okay. As you puff down that glorious, wonderful. Tasty, beautiful.
Don't think about it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate the help here for the support, man. We will, you know, and we blew through like two breaks on this thing, man. I mean, whatever.
We
it's
did.
Cool.
We
yeah.
blew through all the breaks.
Thanks, Will. I appreciate that. Blow it right in my face, man. I just, you know, give me another lungful. Why not? I'm just blown out here. I'm done. I mean, I don't know what to.
I am truly amazed.
Yes.
I am absolutely in awe of Kreskin and everything that he's done and everything that he's doing.
Yeah, this isn't, yeah, like, this is a to be continued, like he said, for him too.
I really, really hope so, because he is an amazing person. And do you know, I'm trying to think, what can I do next Monday?
You know what? You like, obviously were thinking about the same thing yourself.
I'm like, you know, it's 2.5 hours away from here to Point Pleasant.
Actually,
Point Pleasant, Mount Pleasant.
Can I tell you something?
What?
It ain't that far. I do that drive once a week now, and it don't take that long to get to Mount Pleasant. An hour.
Right.
An hour if you're in my car.
Well, maybe. But in my car, it's 2.5 hours.
But
so.
No, it isn't that far. And I was considering it myself, saying, okay, I got some vacation time left here. I wonder if I can swing this. So maybe we have a project for us to do tomorrow to go, hey, man, wonder if we can swing it. I mean, you know, you're one of the, you know, big super guys, you know, at the top there. You know, you're the corporate raider guy, but, you know.
I'll wonder.
Us like, working.
I'm off on
my put the cigar in your mouth and walk out. But it might be kind of cool. It might be kind of cool to go and check, you know, and go to Kreskin's show. We might check into that. I mean, I'm still kind of like just going, huh? Because, I mean, it felt like it's almost as if a whirlwind just came through the Horn and Winery and just, like, left as fast as it came.
Right, right. Well, the thing is, he, I have a feeling, and I remember Kreskin from when I was a wee lad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I know his show is completely different from this interview.
Amber has his game.
Really?
Yeah, Kreskin has a board game.
Really?
She mentioned that. She's like, yeah, Kreskin has a game. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that myself, but apparently.
Did you play it?
No.
Oh.
I want the DVD. I'm going to go out and buy the DVD.
Okay.
Is there a 24-hour Target anywhere? I want a DVD really bad.
Well, it's amazing to hear experiences from people. Obviously amazing to hear experiences from Kreskin, too. And also
he's been all over the world.
Well, yeah, and these are the people I like to be in contact with.
Well, and what we were saying about, you know, there's not enough talking going on. People, you know, you instant message everybody. You leave them
no, especially in this day and age.
Everything is non-personal.
Horribly non-personal. This just happened Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
We were at a restaurant, and we sat down, and as we sat down. Friday, it was Friday night, a band was setting up, and I'm like, oh, God. Because you know me. I mean, I worked in that industry for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I don't know if I would have had a different outlook if I hadn't worked in it for so long, but I hate going to places you can't hear yourself thinking.
Right.
When I go somewhere with someone to sit down, especially for a meal or even a drink or whatever, I want to be able to look at them and not have to go, so how was your day?
Right?
I want to be able to, like Kreskin said, you walk out of there and you're hoarse. Your voice, it hurts to talk the next day. I hate that, and you can't talk to someone. Friday night, we were at a restaurant and we sat down. Like I said, there was a band setting up, and I saw this huge stand up bass. I'm like, okay, this is going to be something cool. Right,
he's
a bass player or something. This is probably gonna be some jazz or something like that. Jazz tends to be a quiet form of music, kind of a mellow kind of, you know, where you can still. And so we're having our meal and stuff, and the band starts playing as we get our plates, and it was quiet, it was soft, it felt good, it was nice and warm sounding, and you know they were just kind of just grooving out there, just grooving away, having fun. We could hear ourselves talk; it was wonderful. But you know, hey, you know, you're a passionate musician. I know what that's like. You start getting into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as the meal goes on, it starts getting harder and harder to hear each other, right? And finally, as we ordered dessert, it was so loud we couldn't hear each other speak, so we kind of gobbled our dessert down and just shot out of there. I couldn't take it anymore. I was planning on hanging out for a little while longer, but it was like, I can't take this. It's just too loud. It's giving me a headache, and I can't talk to you guys.
Right.
And that, like, that illustrates it perfectly. You know, there isn't that much talking going on anymore. Everything's in an email or an instant message, or you get a page on your little pager and you read what it says on your pager, or, you know,
right.
even a telephone, even though it may be a bit more direct.
Well, a telephone is more personal than an email, yeah. a voicemail, or or a text message.
Exactly.
Or a Jabber, or not Jabber, what was that?
Chat room thing, IRC thing, whatever, yeah. whatever it may be. Even the telephone, though.
It's more personal, but it's not like you're there.
No, it isn't. People, I wish people would do that more. Now, we've said that a billion times in this show before. I need Kreskin to convince me of that. It's something that I firmly believe, that there isn't enough communication going on. I think that's responsible for a lot of problems, even in our work lives. You know, we think, well, it's more efficient and cost effective for the company. But you know what? You're killing the morale of people. I know that if somebody would have come to me and said, hey, man, you know, look, this is what's up. You know, can we take care of that? Yeah, no problem at all. That's totally good. Somebody looked me in the eye and said, hey, man, let's just take care of this. That's cool. As opposed to me getting, you know, a pre-done email here, you know, dear, insert name here, you suck, right? That's going to grind my nerves. It's grinded my nerves in the past. I don't think that helps. I think people should talk a lot more. I mean, and I agree with Kreskin on that 150%. People don't talk enough anymore. Families don't talk enough anymore. I make it a point now, and I'm not like I'm some shining beacon of morality here, but I make it a point to talk to my family every day, if not only on the phone, just to see, hey, I'm cool, everything's fine, I'll be over this week to sit down and look at, to have a meal with you guys face-to-face and talk and catch up and see how things are going. Life is very busy. Life is fast now. Everything is, we both know this. We know this. Everything is go, 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 go. It's got to be faster. It's got to be more efficient. I'm doing that now with every little facet of my life, and I'm the one that says, well, just chill out for a few minutes. No, I'm doing 95 miles an hour on the freeway to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing that? Well, usually it's because I wake up late. But, you know, but that's the whole thing. I mean, it all ties together. It is this idea, why can't we just sit down and talk? Why can't we just look at each other in the eye and maybe have a moment of silence? Because sometimes silence does say a lot more than words can.
Speaking of moments of silence, yes. What a perfect segue.
Beautiful.
We don't usually do around
beautifully
here.
Executed, Doug. Yeah. I love it.
Something we don't usually do around here, but the it was brought up yesterday at the party that you did not attend. There's the there is I see that.
All right.
There's a something that was not done on a previous show.
What's that?
Although I did announce, you know, that I now have a truck instead of the death score.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
We didn't actually have a moment of silence or anything for the death score.
Okay, well, why don't we do that? That's a very, very good idea. Because, you know, we said it before. I mean, it's all joking. We have fun with this. And, you know, but you got to understand that when I met Doug that cold night on the corner of 26 and Gratiot.
Yeah, 23 or 26. 26
or 24. The hell's
where's Sneakers?
Where's Sneakers?
26
and Gratiot.
26 and Gratiot.
Yeah. He pulled up in this automobile, all right? And I thought, man, what a rickety car that. And, you know, and this guy jumps out, and he's bouncing around. Hey, how you guys doing? What's going on? I'm Doug. Nice to meet you. And this car has been with us from the beginning of our career doing the show, or as, I don't want to say serious ghost hunters, you know, as serious as this hobby could get, this car has always been... It's been a character. It's been just like us. It's been and the car really does, in my opinion, have a life of its own. It don't need oil. It don't need anything. It just keeps going, right?
It don't need oil. It doesn't need gas.
Yeah, the gas. You just put gas in it. You know, you rub it on the hood a couple times, and whammo, you know, the genie pops out, and it drives for you too. I mean, this car has always been there. So when Doug said he was made this public announcement, got a hold of all, you know, CNN and Fox News and all these people that he was buying a new vehicle, it was a pretty hard blow here in the studio. We were all like, man, you know, why? Because, you know, as much as we, like, Doug, you really should, you know, you can get a new car. You really could use a new car.
But why?
We still love this vehicle.
I love the fact that it was good gas mileage.
Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that, I knew the previous owner. I still know the previous owner. And I knew the, you know, I knew a lot about the car. I also knew that I loved the stick shift at the time.
Yeah.
When I started having to drive 18 miles to work on, you know, M59 every day, that's when the stick shift thing got old.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, it was adversely impacting my knee, my left knee, having to do the, clutch break, clutch break, clutch break.
Oh, I know that feeling.
And so I had to get rid of it. And then when that thing came up where I was perhaps going to be going out of state once a month.
You were
going to
need something that was way more dependable.
I call that a death guard undependable.
I didn't mean it like that. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
we still have to have the laws of physics in place here.
Right. Eventually something's going to
something's
going to
blow up and you're going to be stuck somewhere.
But I have to say, I would trust the death guard to have at least a couple more trips. Mm. I think it could go to Indy and back several times.
Oh, yeah.
Before disintegrating.
Literally, on the road. Nothing but steering wheel and Doug.
I think it could make it even down to, like, OSR
or
West Virginia State Penitentiary.
We took that thing down to OSR. That's where I had my great meltdown of OSR in 2002.
Right, yeah.
Where I totally was trying to drive that thing with my head out the window. And you were gone. You were out. And I'm like, the radio was not kicking it anymore. So I remember trying to like just keep this thing in fifth gear, keep my foot on the gas and keep my head out the window so I wouldn't fall asleep and kill us both.
Right.
So I mean, the car has memories upon memories. People that know us personally,
and it's also the place that we were when I saw the only ghost I ever saw.
Now that car has a lot of history.
We were in that car. And I almost killed you with it.
Oh, yeah.
Or by it, by stopping, because I was going to hit the ghost. And
it was almost a result of my demise right there. Yeah. That car was responsible for it. Why don't we have a minute of silence for the death sport, okay? Okay.
Not a whole minute, but just a few moments of silence.
All right.
And remember the death sport, and then I'll tell you what's happened to it since.
Okay. All right. We're going to kill the mics.
All right.
Let's just kill the mics. Here we go.
And since, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Yes. Since
all right, let me give me a minute.
Okay.
Kleenex. All right, okay. All right, cool. All right.
Since then, I've gone and the death guard is in very good hands.
Yes.
It has been passed on to the next person who needs it. Mm-hmm. And it's fulfilling its function admirably.
Absolutely.
It's getting him back and forth and up and down and over and sideways and all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is indeed living on. It may or may not have a limited lifetime. We don't know. I know that one of the things that the new owner is thinking about is getting a new car. But he's going to use it in the interim.
Yeah.
To go places and hopefully even use it to find his new car.
Possibly.
So my life and the life of the everlasting death escort. That time of my life is over, and I'm on to my next car, and it's gone on to fulfill a useful function for someone else. So we'll see what happens with that. Fortunately, it's a friend of mine, so we'll probably know what happened.
Well, we'll have a 21-gun salute when it's officially gone, but it's out of your hands now. Like I said, and people are going to be like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
Why are they
new listeners
about
this
are car?
We're having a moment of silence for our escort. What's going on with this show? What are these guys doing?
I had to look it up for, you know, because the new owner needed insurance and stuff, right? So he calls me up and he's like, the insurance company wants to know when it was made and its vehicle number and blah, blah, blah. Its vehicle number is like 14, I think. but it's a 1989 Escort 5-door or something, I think is what it says, which is a hatchback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely has been a part of the show since day one. It really has
been. You've gone through several vehicles.
I've gone through three vehicles since we started this show, and they none of them have that kind of sentimental value to me. I just drive them and I can't stand looking at them anymore, and I get a new one.
No, this is like a pet to me.
I think I've mentioned it on the show here. My grandfather, Lambert, who's unfortunately no longer with us, I remember being a child. And he drove a Volkswagen. He worked for General Motors.
Mm-hmm.
And he drove a Volkswagen Beetle to work. But
you have to park in the outlaw.
He worked 30. He did 30 and out with General Motors, right? And he drove that car, if I remember correctly, 24 years.
Wow. Awesome.
And I remember as a child, that car in the garage, he repainted it about 3 or 4 times, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
That's the only thing that went bad on that, was just the paint job. The interior, it was that leather tweed, old school, mint. The motor, mint. The wheels, mint. The only thing that would go on it was the paint job. So every few years, apparently, he'd put it in the garage himself,
mm-hmm.
put garbage bags over the wheels,
right,
and spray the thing back down again.
Wow.
And it was a beautiful car. He sold it. It was still running.
Amazing.
And so it's just another example of just a sentimental thing. You know, I renounce all material possessions, you know, my thing, you know, you guys all know my shtick. But there are these certain things, you know, that you have in life that just mean something to you, and they take on a life of their own. The Descort obviously did that.
We were in it when I saw the only ghost I've ever seen so far.
And we had a lot of adventures in that car.
Too. Oh, yeah.
We've had a lot of adventures in that car. And it's sad to see it go, but you're moving on to greater things. So, hey, what do you
have? Well, hey, now I've got to build some adventures in the Rangers.
Exactly. Making memories, like we do every week on this show.
Every week.
We make memories, and some pretty profound ones this week, too.
This has been a very, very interesting show. I was extremely happy to hear about the new project,
mm-hmm.
You know, working with EVPs only, human created EVPs.
Thank you, Amanda, for coming on the show.
Amanda, that's a fascinating project, and I hope folks will actually get out there and do that.
Yeah.
I also want to put out a final call because we are up against it right now.
Yeah, thank you.
We have less than a minute left. I want to put out a final call for working on the remote viewing project that Trinity Science has going on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Go to our own homepage, www.ghostlytalk.com,
mm-hmm.
and there's right in with the open remote viewing projects is another remote viewing project, and that's Trinity Science's one. Participate in that. It will, I believe, prove to be a very interesting thing. It's a lot more it's a lot more complex than the ORVP.
Yeah.
But it's an actual project, and you can, you know, lend your talents and experience or lack thereof, even, because they're looking for all ends of the spectrum.
That's what makes it so cool.
To that project. It's a great project. And also check out Amanda's project.
Yeah. The links are up on the site. We'll have it up there permanent. We need to thank also.
Thanks, Amanda. Thank you, Kreskin,
God,
for coming
man.
On the show. That was absolutely awesome. I am still speechless about it, and I'm looking forward to talking to him again if he'd be so kind. So I'm very excited about that.
And wish me luck as I try to quit smoking.
For
some reason I'm feeling it right now.
I will attempt to support you.
As you flare up another tasty one in a few minutes here, Scott. I'm right. I'm so hoping you're gonna quit smoking. You're gonna quit smoking, man. But that's it. Yeah, man. Hell of a week here.
Our own website is www.ghostlytalk.com. All links of all the guests are up there. I'd like to thank each and every listener. I'd like to thank Robin Valley Community Radio, if they're still airing us.
All of our friends out there. OmniSound.
OmniSound, of course.
Brothers and sisters working their butts off at OmniSound. Radio New York International, the whole thing.
And, of course, Pioneer at pioneer.rollo.net. That, of course, is our home station.
Mm-hmm.
And everything they do there is just amazing and incredible.
Yes.
With that, though, I have to say, next show coming up on Wednesday, a bonus show. We talked about it in the first half hour. Review that half hour if you know you want to know more about that.
Yeah.
Other than that, tune in. Tune in on Wednesday. It's a bonus show. Wednesday at 6-ish or something. I don't know.
6 p.m.
Check our homepage.
Check the homepage. We don't know anything
Eastern
anymore.
Time. With that, I am Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And this has been Ghostly Talk.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
corrupt, I listen to now.
I need to go someplace where a man can.